Chronicles chapter 34, and we'll look at the first three verses tonight. And again, if you'll join me on the second verse there, 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Stand with me, please, and I'll begin there at verse number 1. Join me in verse number 2, and then I'll finish off with the third verse of 2 Chronicles 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David, his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God, the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is a comforting thought to know that you are much bigger God than we are, that you're a much wiser God than we are, and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Lord, there's many things about you that we cannot understand, But, Lord, it's also a comforting thought that there are some things that we can understand. There are some things that you want us to know about. And, Lord, I pray that you please help us tonight as you, as preacher speaks, that you please open our hearts so we can listen to what you have. And, Lord, that we can grasp the truth and take it with us throughout the week. Blessing the special music and then preacher as he preaches. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
That's a blessing. Sorry about the microphone trouble. I think it was yours, Jan. It was not good, so it'll get checked out. But you could hear it anyway. It was outstanding. Thank you tonight for that. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad the church doors are open. I'm glad we're not altering our service time for a ball game. And, you know, I'm not against it. Hey, I don't have a dog in the fight tonight. Maybe you do. You know, what tickles me is there, but, you know, I'm pulling for the old man. The old man's 39. I'm thinking, heaven help us, mercy days. Where does that put the rest of us? I don't know. But anyway, so I don't know. But hey, it's all right. I grieve at the thought that our country has placed just about every major sporting event on Sunday. It just grieves me. But anyway, I'm glad you're here. We're not changing anything for a ball game. Now, look, for some of us it doesn't mean a whole lot, but, you know, there are people here that are interested. So don't be a dork. Don't go up to somebody that you know is interested and they're going to tape it and watch it later. Did you know the score of the game? You know, don't do that. Don't rain on their parade, okay, or on their birthday party, their Super Bowl party, all right? But listen, anyway, for what it was said there. Seasons of life building. All right, we're on this. Let's pray. We need God's help. Father, thank you for this music tonight, that song, Worship the Lord, that the group played on the stringed instruments, and then this last song, Redeemed. We stand redeemed. Lord, it's been good music. And no, never alone, an infinite, matchless, marvelous grace. Boy, the music, God, has been wonderful. My heart's been blessed. I've been fed through the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that we've sung tonight. And now we come to your word. And Lord, would you please help me? And I pray that you'll speak to heart. Lord, may this be helpful to the people and to the families of our church. And we'll give you the praise for it. God, fill us, anoint us. Touch both speaker and listener, I pray in Christ's name, and amen. Now, we've been talking about this passage. We'll get to it in just a moment. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. When it comes to building a life, there are times for different purposes. There are seasons where certain purposes should be reached for, striven for, strived for, if you want to say it that way, and hopefully attained. And so we're going to be talking about that, seasons of life building. In the first decade of life, the Bible tells us here that Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And that was at around about age number 8, because it was when he was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he did that which was right. And kids, in this first decade, it's all important. This is for parents and for the kids to learn to do right. Learn to do right. Learn to obey. Learn to be honest. Learn to obey and to be honest in God's sight. And like we ended last week's Sunday night message, you will never regret putting a priority on being obedient and being honest as a child. You'll never regret that, okay? So get that nailed down. And being honest and being obedient in the sight of God will help you as you enter the next season of life building. And you come to that season in verse number 3, where it says, for in the 8th year of his reign. Now, he started reigning at age 8. He's in the 8th year of his reign. So 8 plus 8 is 16. So Josiah, in verse 3 now, is about 16 years of age. We're using his life, part of it at least, as kind of a model, an example of seasons of life building. And so now he is. He's 16 years old. And look what the Bible says about him at age 16. And my message tonight is built on one phrase. We'll get to some of the rest of it later. But look at it. While he was yet young. Now, do you see that? While he was yet young. I'm sorry, 16, 17-year-olds, I know you are getting older, but in the grand scheme of things, you are still young. You're still young. Now, I tell you, when you're getting old, I was in Pleasantville, Iowa yesterday, which is south of Des Moines a little bit, for a teen rally. And left the ball games on Friday. I saw the girls lose to Lighthouse, and then to know that they came back and beat them. I was with Brother Cranston Friday night when Brother Mick was texting me the score of that last game, and Brother Cranston was talking, and I wasn't paying a lick of attention. I was saying, "Come on, girls! Come on, girls!" And it was 12-10, then it was 13-10, and 14-10. And I was saying, come on, one more point, come on. And then they got it. And Brother Mick says, 15-10. And then Brother Bragg texted me, they won. And I'm thinking, who won? So I had to text back, and so we won, and I was excited. But anyway, I dropped Joyce off there, and then I drove over to Pleasantville. And I spoke at a teen rally yesterday. There was a couple hundred kids there. It was a blessing because, well, you know, years ago in Iowa, you couldn't have got 200 teenagers together. But now God's done some wonderful things out there. Man alive, just some great young people and great churches. And you know you're old. This 16-year-old girl comes up to me and she says, Pastor Angel, she said, my mom wanted me to tell you hello. And I said, what is your name? She said, my name is Allison McCoy. And I said, your mother was Kim Long. And she said, yeah, I said, your mother was 16 when she was in my youth group. And so now I'm 16, you're 16, and I'm preaching to you. And I took a picture of her on Brad Lee Cranston's phone. I'm not going to take a picture of a 16-year-old girl on my phone. So I took a picture of a 16-year-old girl on his phone. I said, Bradley, can I have your phone, please? And I took a picture and sent it to my wife. And she said, boy, she looks just like her mom and a lovely young lady. But that's when you know you're getting old, okay? But look, at 16, God said, while he was yet young. The teenage years. Great times, not always easy times. Wonderful years, aggravating years in some ways. It can be a little bit frustrating years. But I want to say something to our teens tonight about this season of life building, this second decade, if you will. Would you please listen tonight? Remember, you are still young. You're still young. I know that you're growing, and I know that you're developing physically, and you're on the way to becoming a young adult. But don't forget that you are on the way. And don't be like, you know, the kids going on an 8-hour trip somewhere where after the first hour they're asking, are we there yet? And after the second hour, are we there yet? You know, don't be like that. You aren't there yet. You need to keep in mind that you are yet young. There's nothing quite as nauseating than a teenager who believes they've arrived. Don't be too big for your britches. Don't be too big for your britches. Look, you don't have to be on the defensive about being young. You don't have to have a chip on your shoulder. Understand, it's not your fault you are still young. It's just that you haven't lived a lot of life yet. And life is the best teacher. The best experiences that are learned come from life itself. And at age 16 and 15 and 17 and 14 and 18, you just haven't experienced a lot of life. And Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 7 talks about a young man void of understanding. Part of the reason he is void of understanding is because he is young. Again, it's not a knock on you. It's just the season of life that you are in. Yes, you are closer to adulthood at ages 15, 16, 17 than you are to childhood, but you're not there yet. You're just not there yet. And again, there's nothing more sickening than a smarty pants teenager who acts like they've arrived. It's nauseating. It really, really is. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I think that the proper esteem, we hear a lot about esteem. You know, in today's world, you got low self-esteem. You got to have better self-esteem. Well, I think the proper esteem is important. You don't want to think too highly of yourself. As I've been saying, you don't, nor do you want to think too poorly of yourself. I'm a nobody. I don't know anything. I can't do anything. That's a false humility that has no place in your thinking. Okay? The proper way to think is, I am a young person. That's how you think about yourself. I am a young person. I am more adult than I am child. But there is still a whole lot I don't know, a whole lot I don't understand. And really, folks, young people, listen to me. What I'm talking about here tonight is good old-fashioned humility. Just some good old-fashioned humility. Having some humility. Now, Webster's defines humility as freedom from pride and arrogance. It's not the spirit that says, I don't have to listen to you. That's not the spirit of humility. It's not the spirit that says, I don't have to do what you say. That's not the spirit of humility. It's not the spirit that says, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's not the spirit of humility. The spirit of humility is absolutely opposite those type spirits. Webster went on to say that humility is, and I quote, a modest estimate of one's own worth. Again, you are young. It's okay. You're going to be old soon enough. Don't push it. Okay? You're young. Now we know you're growing. You know, I remember Brother Brown preaching, and he was getting on some of the teenage young men out there at Marion Avenue, and he was preaching away, and he said, "I'll tell you, teenage boys, some of you, if I could buy you for what you are worth and sell you for what you think you're worth, I could retire a millionaire." And that's true. That's the attitude some of you. And by the way, if you can't smile and laugh at that, you got a problem. That's what I'm talking about. You got a chip on your shoulder. You're on the defense mode here tonight already. Some of you boys. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You got a chip on your shoulder. Relax. You're young. That's what he said. While he was yet young. Now let me say, not all teenage boys or girls are like that. There are many who have the right mindset. You know, I'm still a young person, and I have goals, and I have dreams, and I have a journey ahead of me, and I have desires, but I am still young, and I still have a lot to learn, and that's humility. Humility is not, oh, I can't know anything, I can't do anything. That's false humility. Humility is thinking right about yourself. Now, if you'll keep the spirit of humility, here are some things in your youth that you will realize. If you'll keep that spirit of humility, here are some things that you will realize. I'll give you three of them. It won't take me long. Number one, you'll realize that you need your parents. You need your parents. And you say, look, why does God give children parents? Because they need parenting. That took a lot of thinking to figure out. God gives you parents because you need parenting. What is parenting? Webster says parenting is producing, maintaining, protecting, and teaching children. You say, I'm not a child. Yes, but you're not an adult yet. You're on the way. You're on the way. God gives you parents because you need parenting. And the reality is that there aren't too many 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds capable of moving out of their house and living on their own. You're not capable of living on your own financially. You're not capable of living on your own mentally, physically, emotionally, vocationally. And that's the problem with some high-minded teenage young men and teenage young ladies. They want to do their own thing, and they want their parents to finance it. That doesn't fit. You have parents because you need parents. You need parenting. Turn over to Ecclesiastes real quick. I want to show you a couple of verses here that I ran across this week in putting this together. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Here's some great verses about this, young people. And I just want to encourage you to remember that you are yet young. Remember that you're still young, okay? Keep that in front of you. And keep humble about that. Keep the spirit of humility. Look at chapter 11, book of Ecclesiastes, which is right beyond Psalms, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. Look at it there. Ezekiel chapter 11. Look at verse number 9. Now, when you start reading this verse, you're going to think, oh boy, God's going to talk about something positive, but it turns negative real quick. Watch this. Rejoice, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee. He says, and walk in the ways of thine heart. Live like you want to. Pursue your own fleshly desires. And in the sight of thine eyes, go ahead and do what you think is best. Live life like you see it. But now this is where it turns. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. So it's like, you know, he's being a little bit sarcastic here. Solomon is. Says, go ahead, young man, and you know, let your heart cheer you. Let your heart, you know, think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Put yourself up on a plane or a pedestal that you ought not be on. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But you better know that God is going to bring you into judgment for having that kind of attitude. And I want you to see what he said in verse number 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. Here is God's advice about that kind of haughty thinking that says, you know what? I'm a man now. I can do what I want and live as I want and think as I want and see life as I want to see it. He says, remove sorrow from your heart. You know, I think you teenagers sometimes get tired of hearing your parents say, hey, you're going to be sorry. You get tired of hearing preachers preach, you're going to be sorry. You get tired of hearing youth directors and camp speakers and camp evangelists and everything preach and say, hey, you're going to be sorry. Well, will you hear God tonight? You elevate yourself to a plane that you ought not be on, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think, forgetting that you are young and just going your own way, doing your own thing. And, you know, mom and dad are just old fogies and old-fashioned, and I don't need them anymore. And God said, you know what, if you have that kind of attitude, you need to remove sorrow from your head. You need to hear God say it tonight. You'll be sorry for having that kind of spirit and that kind of attitude. So he said, get rid of it. Get it out of your life. You'll be sorry. Would you hear God speak tonight? So you'll be sorry if you had that kind of spirit. You need your parents. You need your parents. Number two, if you keep the spirit of humility, you will realize that you need to submit to your parents. You see, being young and needing parents means I am aware that the will of God for me is to submit to them. You know, people, can I tell you tonight that God doesn't give you parents just so they can have something to do? There's plenty in life to do. No, God gives you parents to lead you. God gives you parents to direct you. They lead, you follow. I've reused these verses. You're familiar with them. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 51, Jesus is 12 years of age. And if there was ever a teenage young man who could have lived on his own, it was Jesus Christ. He could have lived on his own emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, vocationally, all of it. He could have lived on his own. If ever there was a 12-year-old who could have gone out in his own life and done what he needed to do, it was Jesus Christ. But at age 12, the Bible says that he went down. I don't forget that word. He went down with them being Joseph and Mary, and he was subject unto them being Joseph and Mary. Now, let me ask you a question. Why would Jesus, who could live on his own, submit himself to Joseph and Mary? At 12 years of age. I'll tell you why. Because he was an example for every 12-year-old boy, for every 12-year-old young lady, and not just age 12, but through the teenage years, that if you possess the right spirit, the spirit of humility, if you think rightly about yourself, you'll realize that you need your parents, and you'll realize that you need to submit to them. If you truly possess a spirit of humility, you will submit to your parents. Stop the fighting. Stop the fussing. Stop the resisting. Stop the grinding. Stop the pushing back. Stop the against, and instead work with your parents. Folks, listen, I'm not kidding when I say this. You only have a few years as a teen to spend with your parents. You only have a few years. Don't spend them in anger, arguing and fussing and making life miserable. You know, I wish I could preach to you tonight and stand in this pulpit and say, this is what I did. And I regret that I can't say that. I have to preach it because it's the truth. But I wish I could stand here with a testimony that says not only is it the truth, but I lived it. And I was lost. And made no bones about it. Oh, I probably told the parents I was saved, but Don't fight your parents. Well, just stop it. You don't have to. Any of us that fought our parents, and now we're on the side of being a parent, we look back and we realize how ridiculous we were to fight against our parents. Crazy. Made no sense whatsoever. It was not right. It was wrong. It was not even sensible. So be glad you don't have to make all the decisions. That's going to come soon enough. You better be thankful. Hey, you have no... Look, I'm not meaning... I don't mean you any disservice here. I don't mean you an injustice. But you have no clue. The myriad of burdens and decisions that your dad and mom carry and have to make. And you're going to be carrying those someday. Now, you don't have to now. Let them do it. And just get along with them. Love them, respect them, obey them. If you're going to keep a spirit of humility through your teenage years, you're going to realize that you need your parents, and you're going to realize that you need to submit to your parents. Let me say the third thing tonight. If you keep the spirit of humility, you'll realize that your increase depends on you being in the right relationship with your parents. Now, I say that based on Luke chapter 2, and verse 52. Now here it is. Verse 51, I just quoted it to you. The Bible says that He went down with them to Jerusalem. And He was subject unto them. And the verse ends. And then the next word in verse number 52 is the word and. I believe that means the thought is continuing. And Jesus increased. Now, here's what I believe, and I can't explain it to you. And I said this on Wednesday night a little bit on this Lessons on Wisdom. We're in the book of Proverbs on Wednesday night. I believe with all of my heart that verse number 52 is tied directly to verse number 51. The fact that Jesus increased was due to the fact that He was subject unto His parents. No decrease, no increase. No decrease in your opinion, no decrease in your actions, no decrease in your attitude, no decrease with a spirit of servitude and obedience and subjection. And I need you, Dad, and I need you, Mom, and I'm not going to fight. No decrease, no increase. With all my heart. And we're talking about Jesus Christ. I know the Son of God here. But let me ask you a question. Did Jesus go on to honor and glory in His life? I believe He did. You know what Proverbs says twice? In chapter 15, verse 33, and chapter 18, verse 12, before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. I'm just taking this one phrase tonight out of 2 Chronicles 34, verse number 3. When this young man was 16 years old, God said about him, while he was yet young, would you please remember that you're young? Would you please remember that? And the spirit of humility is not, I can't know anything, I can't do anything. It's not thinking poorly of yourself. It's not thinking highly of yourself. It's thinking properly about yourself. I'm young and I need parents and I need to obey them. And if I'm going to increase in life, it'll be because I obey them and get along with them. If I fight them, I'm not going to increase. There is a St. Paul's Cathedral over in London, England. There are 637 steps into the dome of that cathedral. The story is that 9/10 of the way up, just at the base of the dome. They're going up the cathedral, just at the base of the dome where you go up in the very pinnacle of it. At the base, you can go out of a door onto a little veranda or balcony or promenade where you can overlook the city. And then if you want to go all the way to the top, you come back in and you have to go through a little small door that requires you to bend down. And over the door is a sign that says, go down to go up. Go down to go up. Now what happens to a lot of teenage young men and young ladies is you get too high-minded. At 16, at 15, at 17. If you will go down, if you will realize you're young, and if you'll realize you need your parents, and realize you need to obey them, and realize that increase in your life depends on being in a right relationship with your parents, if you'll go down in your attitude and in your actions and in your will and subject yourself unto your parents, you will go up. But if there's no decrease, there will be no increase. At age 16, God said, this young man, this boy, this 16-year-old, was yet young. Will you please keep it in your mind when you're tempted to show yourself against your parents? Would you please remember that you're yet young? Just remember. It's not a disgrace. It's where you are. And if you remember that and go down, eventually you'll go up. Because before honor is humility. That's all I wanted to say tonight. I got a bunch of other stuff to say. I'll save it for next week. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I hope that I was able to deliver that one truth tonight. You young people, would you please hear me and listen? It's obvious on the faces of some that it's not well received. And you know what? I will say to you what God said. You're going to be sorry. Obvious on the faces of others that it is received. A hunger, a learning, a desire for what's right. Seasons of life building, the second decade. And you can have the right attitude about yourself all through your teen years. I'm on my way, but I'm not there yet. I'm young. Father, bless our young people. Speak to their hearts, I pray. I pray, God, that when the common, ordinary frustrations of the teenage years get to them and they are tempted to show themselves and think more highly of themselves than they ought to think, I pray that you'll help them to remember that they're yet young. I pray that, Lord, they'll realize they need their parents and they need to obey and subject themselves to their parents and that their increase depends on them doing that. And may it not be just something that they think about, but practice on a daily basis and stop the fussing and stop the fighting and have a sweet and harmonious relationship all through their teen years with their dad and their mom. God, make it so, I pray. And I'll thank you for it. Bless the dads and moms of teenagers in this room. Bless the dads and moms who soon will have teenagers in their homes. We pray for your will to be done. We pray for you to be glorified and honored in every family here at the church. God, may it be so. And would you help us to live according to biblical principle? And I pray that you'll speak to hearts tonight. If your heads are bowed, eyes are closed, young person, if the Lord spoke to you tonight, you'd like to make that commitment to God that, you, Lord, by your grace, I want to realize that I'm young and keep that spirit of humility and learning and keep right and not fuss and fight with my dad and mom. But maybe there's a dad and mom tonight. God spoke to your heart. I want you to obey the Lord. You do as God tells you to do. This season of life building, remember that you're yet young. Ladies, play us a song of them for invitation. If you need to be saved, now's the time to come or baptized. You obey the Lord. You do what God wants you to do tonight. You step out and obey Him. Living this is more than just, you know, making a trip to the altar and kneeling, and I'm glad you're doing that, but living it is a far greater challenge, friend, than just kneeling. It's taking it home, putting it into practice. When you're tempted to rise up against dad and mom, stop and realize, ho, 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 I'm just young. Help me to learn. While he was yet young, Heavenly Father, take your word, and I pray through the work of your Spirit that the word of God would be engraven on the hearts of those who listen tonight. And Lord, there are young people in this room who listen very carefully and who I believe really want to honor you at the particular age they are in life right now. And I pray that not with just pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God's finger, he would engrave those truths upon their hearts. And Lord, they would live them. And I pray, God, for a sweet and precious and wonderful teenage experience in their homes with their parents. God, bless them to experience it and have it. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.